Hello and welcome back to the BTL with Reb T, the Better Through Letter, the show where we talk how to make ourselves better through using the Ramban's letter. We are in lesson 21 here. We have 10 or so more left. The wonderful letter, but it's almost done. So stay with us. A couple of more lessons, hopefully a week and a half or so. We are looking at phrase number 21 tonight. V'im chacham o asher hu alacha l'chavdo. Again, this is a letter for the ages, using the words, the wonderful expositions, the phraseology, and the terrific insights of Rabbi Avraham Chaim Feuer. If another is more wise or wealthy than yourself, you must show him respect. The Pasuk explains in Vayikra, Mipnei Seva Takim V'Hadarta Pnei Zakin. Interestingly, in Israel, I remember seeing this phrase as a social conduct element, as a social construct and a social law, giving up your seat to someone who is older than you, or someone that has a disability or difficulty, give up your seat to you. It's interestingly a fact that I saw this on a bus as a command of respect and as a token of giving up your seat for someone else. They use the pasuk to teach you a common way to do it. Very interesting, applicable, practical application to do so. Arise respectfully before the elder, used on the bus to literally mean rise up and give him the seat. Honor the presence of the scholar, be in fear of your God. That comes from Vayikra again. Also, the idea of zakin doesn't actually mean only someone who's much older than you. They talk about Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, the famous sage, who famously says in the Haggadah, Hare ani keben shmona esrei shana, or something like that. I forget the exact phraseology of it, but I was like 18 years old. Why does he say 18? That he's like 18? Because overnight, he prayed to be able to be accepted by the scholars. He looked so youthful, and people didn't listen to him, didn't heed his words, even though he was brilliant. So Hashem made it that he turned gray overnight. Hashem gave him a miracle. Even though he was very, very young, he made him look much older, much elderly. So much more elderly. So Chachma, Zakin, could really stand for an acronym of Zeh Shekana Chachma. Zeh Kana Chachma Zakin. Someone who has wisdom in him doesn't mean someone who has to be older than you, but someone who is wiser than you, smarter than you, sagely than you. Even if the rabbi is your own age, but he has a lot to teach you, there's something to learn from him. So you stand up for him. You give respect and honor to someone who can teach you something. David HaMelech teaches in Pirkei Avos, he learned only two things from Achitophel, who wasn't really such a wonderful guide for him. He really turned on him really at the end, but in general, he still learned something from Achitophel that he shouldn't stay in the basement of Shalom, shouldn't travel alone. I think with the two things, there might be something else that is really referring to him. But even those two things, even if they're considered small things, he called him my mentor, he called him my guide, he called him my sage. You have to treat everyone that teaches you with the proper respect, even if they're not, quote-unquote, much, much older than you. Anyone that gives you wisdom should be respected. Man is influenced by his actions. When one shows outward signs of respect to the wise, he becomes inspired to emulate their example, pointed out by Sefer HaChinuch. Thinking about Rabbi Abba Cohen, the Medrash relates, citing this great scholar, originally I would avoid walking past the crowds of people so as not to bother them, but I knew they would stand as I walked by. Rabbi Yossi advised me otherwise. When crowds rise before a Torah scholar, their hearts become filled with the fear of heaven. Conversely, failure to show outward deference to scholars is indicative of an inner lack of regard for the sanctity of knowledge. A scholar who does not show respect for her peers thus lives a life of contradiction. His knowledge suffers from a tragic flaw. Rabbi Elazar said, any Torah student who fails to stand up respectfully for his rabbi and teacher is called wicked. What we spoke about before, he is destined to forget his Torah knowledge. That comes from Gemara Kiddushin. Besides demanding to show deference to the wise, Ramban also encourages his son to respect men of wealth, men who are of influence and who have power. Money usually equals power. The rabbis teach that one acknowledges that his riches are a gift from God, his wealth becomes a true divine blessing. Only when one sees his gain as solely the product of his own industry that affluence becomes laced with spiritual toxin. That's the Medrash in Bamid Rabbah. That's the Pasuk in Devarim. Kolchi v'otzem yadi asaliyat hachayel hazeh. Very fallible way of thinking, how it's my hands, my effort that got me where I am. People say, through my blood, sweat, and tears, I built up my empire with my own hands. I built up this business with my own scratch, with my own fingernails. I did it. When they use that I, when they focus on themselves so much, they forget that they're just a tool in Hashem's hands. It was all Hashem. Hashem gave it to them. Hashem let them get it. Hashem blessed them to be able to be successful. Hashem could easily have taken it away. That's the Kocham Ve'etzi fallibility, the fallacy of thinking that it's all just from you, but realize that it all comes from Hashem. Otherwise, it's toxic way of thinking. It's essential that one realizes the value of his resources he is equipped with, which comes from Hashem. Both wisdom and money are reservoirs of spiritual potential. Rabbi Chila Rofen, in an essay on the value of wealth in Malos Hamidos, writes, a sage was once asked, why do we often see wise men seeking out company of the wealthy, but seldom do we see wealthy men seeking out the presence of the wise? The sage answers, because wise men appreciate the true value of wealth, whereas wealthy men fail to appreciate the value of wisdom. We're going to repeat that. Wise men appreciate the true value of wealth. Wealthy men fail to appreciate the value of wisdom. Gemara in Erevin points out that Rabbi Judah the Prince, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Mechabed Ashirim, and Rabbi Akiva Mechabed Ashirim, Rabbi Yehuda the Prince and Rabbi Akiva both gave recognition to the rich. The Talmud relates how a young man named Bunyas ben Bunyas once came to the yeshiva of Rabbi Yehuda the Prince. He was clothed modestly and received no special attention. As time passed, Rabbi Yehuda was informed that the young man's father possessed fabulous wealth, owning title to whole cities. Rabbi Yehuda responded, in that case, please communicate to Bunyas the elder that he has failed to dress his son properly. A rich man's clothing should be an accurate reflection of his wealth. The fantastically wealthy men, no less than anyone else, must not deny his uniqueness. Although modesty is laudable, one may not utilize humility as a vehicle for neglecting his mission, his primary mission in life. Just as the scholar in humility should not avoid his duty to teach and define questions of Torah law, so too humility is inappropriate for the rich man if he is thus led to deny his role as a financial backbone of Jewish society. So yes, dress to impress, dress to show your station in life, your station in life, and your stature in life. But make sure it's for the right reasons, so people recognize that you're fabulously wealthy, so that they could come to you for charitable organizations and institutions and charitable donations, not just so you could feel that you are almighty and powerful, which was what Hashem gave you, and all comes from Hashem for using it really only for the good reasons. Look around you in the great house of your heavenly Father. Everything sustains and is sustained. Everything takes and gives and receives a thousandfold of giving, for it receives life instead of mere existence. And of course, this is all controlled by Hashem. Do you alone wish only to take and not to give? Would you be as a stream which dries up in the arid sand and fails to give back to the sea which it has received? Once you have pondered upon the thought that you're nothing so long as you exist only for yourself, you only become something when you mean something to others. You only possess something when you share it with others. I'm going to repeat that fantastic phrase. You only become something when you mean something to others. You only possess something when you share it with others. Then even the penny in your pocket is not yours, but only becomes so when you spend it for a blessed purpose. Then you'll rejoice in the great task to which Hashem has called you. There's a famous parable that someone said, how much wealth do you have? To someone who had a lot of wealth. And the person said, I don't know how much wealth I have, but I know how much wealth I gave. That's the wealth that really belongs to me. Every dollar I gave to tzedakah, every dollar I gave to an organization, to a mission, to a chesed purpose, to a chesed task, that money is really mine. That's the only money I could call mine. Money that was used to build, money that was used to help, money that was used to give others life and to give others opportunity and to give others the ability to do. That's the money I could really count, the person responded. That's the money that really belongs to me, that of course Hashem gave to me. There's so much money we spend all over the place, on our houses, on our cars, on so many different things. But money used for mitzvahs, money used for tzedakah, even money used for other aspects, but for Shabbos and for Yom Tov and for Jewish education, that money is the money we could really count. There's so much money I used myself personally to buy knickknacks and whatnot and different things related to mundane life things through Amazon and the like. It's so much over the years that it's uncountable, not countable, but money given to tzedakah is rememberable, is memorable. Money given to tzedakah, I remember. I remember the places we send the money to, the people we give it to, because that's the money that really counts. That's what really helps. You're something when you mean something to others. You have money when you actually share it with others. The first step in spiritual growth is identifying the unique tools of one's life mission. This is the main topic, the main aspect of all of the shiurim that I do that we talk about all the time. Finding your mission, finding your passion, so, so important. We only have 120 years on this earth. If we're Zocha, we should all be Zocha, and we have to use that 120 years utilizing and fulfilling our mission, whatever you're most passionate about, whatever you love most in the world, obviously besides for your spouse and your children, family and friends. That's what you're supposed to do within the framework of Torah, within the framework of helping people, making the world a better place. A spiritual potential is often a puzzle, the key to which may seem unlikely. It's not easy to find the threads of destiny. Rabbi Akiva told Turnus Rufus, the Roman governor of Judea, an individual's state of poverty is not an indication of personal unworthiness. Rather, it's a divine tool, maybe, to enable the rich to help others. Pointed out in Baba Basra, when one, in the end, unravels for himself his spiritual assets, he need not be ashamed of them. Both the poor and the rich have cause to humbly rejoice in their change and in their charge. A sage was once asked, "How come you are accepted as the undisputed leader of the people of your generation?" He said, "I have never met any person in whom I did not detect some quality in which he was superior to me." Ezehu chacham halo made me kol adam. Pirkei Avos explains to us, the Talmud tells us, if he is wiser than I suspected he might also be more God-fearing. If he is less wise, I consider that on the day of judgment he will be held less countable than I, for my transgressions were with full knowledge, while his were in error. If he was older, I would reason the merits which he already acquired must exceed mine. If he was younger, calculated his sins were fewer than mine. If the man was richer, perhaps his wealth has enabled him to surpass me in serving God. If he was poor, I would consider him to be the contrite and of a humbler spirit than I. Thus I honored all men and humbled myself before them. Point on the Chavos Halvavos. What a fascinating way to look at life, that you could learn something from everyone around you. As Pirkei Avos tells us again, Ezehu chacham halomed mikol hadam. Who is smart? Someone who learns from his fellow man, learns something from everyone. You can learn so many different things from so many different animals and insects. You can learn so many things from so many people around you. We're supposed to learn something from everyone. Even the ant teaches us diligence, and the bee teaches us different things, like how he persistence in going from flower to flower. Every insect, animal could teach us things. Every person could teach us things, and we should be zocha to utilize the lessons around us and everything we learn together to make ourselves fulfill our mission, do great things in this world. Admeya ve'esrim shana. Join us next time as we talk lesson 22 here on the BTL with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.